Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 10. We're going to be looking at that here a little later. But, you know, when you get married, you say yes to the person you want to spend the rest of your life with. You also say no to about 3 billion people. You know, every other member of the opposite sex. Hopefully the opposite sex. But by saying yes to your mate, you say no to everybody else. See, life is a series of decisions. It's about saying yes and saying no and figuring out when to say which. Sometimes it's hard to say no, isn't it? I mean, no to appetites, no to our desires, no to other people. You know, I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to say no, especially to people. I mean, I'm a people pleaser. I think a lot of pastors are. I like to be liked. I like to make people happy. I hate to let people down. Actually, I've gotten better at saying no over the years. Amy has made me. I mean, she's a lot meaner than I am. Actually, it's easy for her to tell me to say no, but she struggles to say it for herself also. See, I wonder, do you struggle with saying no? You know, a lot of people do. I mean, not just pastors. Now, sometimes it's not that big of a deal whether we say yes or say no. I mean, would you like a cup of coffee? Or could you give me a hand moving this table? Or are you available to babysit Tuesday? Can you come over Friday night? Will you please give a special offering for our new building? We don't have a new building, but that's really a big deal. But you know what I mean. Sometimes yes or no is fairly it doesn't matter. It don't make a difference. But on the other hand, sometimes the consequences of yes or no are really high. You know, at the Grand Canyon, at the start of Bright Angel Trail, you can read a story on a signpost there about Margaret Bradley. Now see, on July the 9th, 2004, Margaret and a friend set out for a 15-mile hike, a run down the canyon. Now this sounds pretty grueling, but the previous year, Margaret had completed the 26-mile Boston Marathon in just over 3 hours. So this 15 miles didn't sound out of reach for her. However, she and a friend were on the 15-mile trail like they thought. They weren't on that trail like they thought. They were actually on a 27-mile trail. See, neither of them was carrying enough food or water, and the temperature that day down in the canyon was expected to swell to 120 degrees. Now, sometime mid-afternoon, Margaret's friend decided that she couldn't go on. She huddled in the shade of some rocks, exhausted, dehydrated, and stressed. Now, Margaret said she was going to press on, determined to find help. Now, that was a costly mistake. See, in the cool of the evening, a ranger stumbled upon Margaret's friend and guided her out of the canyon. 2 days later, Margaret's lifeless body was found in a drainage depression below the Tonto Trail. See, an incredible athlete in peak physical condition, she died of dehydration. Now, understand, it seemed like going for help was a good thing to do. I mean, it felt like sitting down in the shade was an admission of failure. It was like giving up hope, rolling over and waiting for death. So for the good of her friend, Margaret was determined to initiate some kind of rescue. Yet the truth is, Margaret said yes to when she should have said no. It would have been more prudent, more wise to sit tight until the sun began to set. But it was too hard for her to sit still, so she made the biggest mistake of her life. You know, sometimes when it comes to choices, the stakes are pretty high. Now, folks, it's not always so clear-cut, the choices we're faced with. I mean, you know what's hard for me about saying yes and saying no? It's not always a choice between good and bad, between good and evil. You know, remember that campaign against drugs several years ago, Just Say No? I mean, when it comes to whether avoiding drugs, it's a good goal or a bad goal. I mean, that's really a no-brainer. hands down, saying no is definitely the better choice. But sometimes we say no to good things in order to get better things. Now, sometimes we say no to better so that we can get the best. Sometimes we have to say no to one thing so that we can say yes to something else. I mean, those decisions, they're harder to make. And as we continue our profile series this morning, we're gonna turn to the book of New Testament, and we're gonna look at a pair of sisters who dealt with this very issue of yes and no. So I asked you earlier to turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. Let's read. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Now she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. I struggle with this passage of Scripture because I think I understand Martha. I mean, I understand her desire to finish what she started, to stay busy for the sake of her friends, to fix the immediate problem of serving a meal to 13 guests. And they were likely unexpected guests. I mean, it's not like Peter could have called ahead and make reservations. I mean, we take our cell phones for granted, but it wasn't that long ago that we actually had to plan ahead. I mean, any more plans can change on a dime. I mean, let's meet here. Let's meet there. Let's not meet after all. See, Jesus and the disciples just sort of showed up hoping for a meal. And Martha, of course, said yes. Mary was on board too. But problems arose when it came to what that meal was going to look like and how that evening was going to unfold. See, Martha said yes to a meal. Mary said yes to Jesus. Martha wanted everything to be perfect. Mary wanted to sit at the feet of the one who is perfect. So in saying yes to a meal, Martha said no to Jesus. In saying yes to Jesus, Mary said no to the Martha Stewart perfect seven-course dinner. But let me suggest something to you. What you say no to defines you as much or more than what you say yes to. Maybe you're saying yes to bad things, and that's shaping you negatively. Maybe you're saying yes to too many good things, and that's hurting you too. See, the courage to say no may be exactly what you need. I mean, if you think about it, really saying yes, it's easy. I mean, a neighbor asks for a favor. Your teenager asks for permission. Your youth minister asks you to serve in a ministry. Or maybe a friend offers you some drugs at a party. Your boss asks you to falsify some business reports. Maybe your date pressures you to have sex. See, it's easier to say yes than it is to say no. It usually takes more courage to say no, especially to say no wisely. You know, Martha wanted to say yes to Jesus, but there was just too much on her mind. I mean, it's obvious from this text that she had the gift of hospitality, but she was also in charge. I mean, Luke tells us that she, Martha, opened her home to Jesus. I mean, granted, she shared the house with Mary and her brother Lazarus, but nobody crossed Martha when it came to household matters. At least, that's my assumption from the way that this story reads. I mean, the responsibility she felt only intensified the pressure. Now notice, Jesus said Martha was worried and upset, worried about her guest, worried about the meal, worried about disappointing Jesus. I mean, don't get me wrong, Martha was glad that the men had come. Seeing Jesus was always a pleasure, but whipping up a meal for 13 extra people, especially 13 men who had been walking around for days and weeks and months, I mean, rarely sitting down to a table and eating a home-cooked meal, I mean, she felt like only her best would do. Now, sure, she wanted to visit with Jesus. I mean, kind of talk over old times, hear the latest news of his ministry, show him slides of maybe the summer vacation. But there were potatoes to be mashed. There was gravy to stir. She had to keep an eye on the meat so that it wouldn't dry out, and she didn't want the biscuits to burn. I mean, Martha had her hands full. So while everybody's in the living room talking, she's probably in the kitchen stewing. I mean, I could almost hear it. For crying out loud, where's Mary? I thought she was going to toss the salad, and the table hasn't been set, and we got to wash the silverware, and I needed her to go next door to borrow 3 eggs. I mean, why isn't she helping me? I mean, can you just picture Martha listening to the laughter from the living room while she's cutting up vegetables in the kitchen? I mean, as this frustration builds, she's dicing and slicing with a vengeance. I mean, she's chopping carrots with a meat cleaver. I mean, finally, she can't stand it anymore. She can't take it anymore. She storms into the living room. I mean, her apron splattered with gravy, flour on her cheeks, her hair is probably down in her eyes, and she says, "Hey, Lord, don't you care that my sister?" Now, she's too mad that she can't even call her by her name, but she says, "My sister has left me to do all the work by myself." I mean, tell her that she's lazy. She's being how lazy she's being, and make her come and help me. Now let's give Martha the benefit of the doubt, though. Let's give her the benefit of the doubt here and assume that she wasn't in the habit of telling the Lord of the universe what to do. I mean, let's assume that she was just so frustrated that she couldn't help blowing off a little steam. See, the ironic thing is that she's talking to the one who has calmed the storm and raised the dead and fed the 5,000 people with a little boy's lunch. I mean, she was trying to do by her own power in the kitchen far less than Jesus was capable of doing with only a word by his mouth, only the touch of his garment. See, she could have asked Jesus for help, a little understanding, maybe some added strength, but she was too busy demanding Mary's assistance to remember who was visiting in her home. You know, all that power so close but untapped. You know, I was at a gas station one day when I was traveling, and I noticed these construction workers, they were digging on the lot next door. Now, the funny thing was, there was this huge backhoe parked there. I mean, its massive scoop bucket literally was right over their heads, and they're in the shadows of this heavy piece of equipment, and two guys were digging a hole with shovels. Now, I'm sure there was probably a good reason for them not to be using that backhoe and using shovels, but it was an interesting sight. I mean, all that power so close, and they were wearing themselves out doing the work by hand. You know, that's kind of how I picture Martha. The power was within reach, but she looked right past it. See, rather than soaking up some of that spiritual strength from Jesus, rather than drawing from his wisdom and rejoicing in his presence, she was knocking herself out in the kitchen, feeling sorry for herself for having to do all the work by herself. I mean, she was worried and upset. There was 13 extra mouths to feed, and she was at the end of her rope. You know, she said no to Jesus so she could say yes to supper. Commendable, maybe, but not terribly wise. Meanwhile, notice what Mary is doing. Look again at verse 39. Verse 39 says, "Martha had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said." See, while Martha was prioritizing the meal, Mary was prioritizing Jesus. She said no to the expectation for hospitality that was so prevalent in her culture. She said no to the needs of her guests. She said no to the demands of her sister. I mean, it certainly wasn't bad to show hospitality. It wouldn't have been inappropriate to meet the needs of her guests. It wasn't even wrong to try to keep Martha happy. But Jesus was right there in her house, and she couldn't bear the thought of being anywhere else but sitting as close to him as possible, drinking in every word he said. See, no time was more precious to Mary than time with the Lord. The reality is that some moments are more significant than others. I mean, there may be 60 seconds in every minute, but not every minute is of equal value. You know, a commercial that airs on television at 3 o'clock in the morning is going to cost a different amount than a commercial that's going to air next Sunday night at the Super Bowl. See, Mary was perceptive enough to realize she would not always have the opportunity to sit at Jesus' feet and bask in His presence. And so she seized the moment when it came. She said no to the good things so she could have a better thing. In fact, the best thing of all. See, sometimes we have to decide between what is good and what is best. Look, Jesus said at the end of verse 42. He said this at the end of verse 42. He said, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now listen, I'm not suggesting that Mary loved Jesus more than Martha did, or that Mary is the hero in this text and Martha is the villain. It's simply suggesting that Mary had her priorities well in line, and Jesus, He defended her for it. I mean, in this particular instance, Martha was out of balance. Maybe that's the key of this whole thing, balance. Listen to what Fred Craddock wrote about this text. He says, if we censure Martha too harshly, she may abandon serving altogether. And if we commend Mary too profusely, she may sit there forever. There is a time to go and do. There is a time to listen and reflect. Knowing which and when is a matter of spiritual discernment. See, it's not always easy to know when to say yes and when to say no. It's a matter of spiritual discernment. For instance, investing in relationships is more important than serving a perfect meal. But people do have to eat, though. See, learning from Jesus is more important than hospitality. But that's not a license to be rude to your guests. See, this text is a little tricky. Because it seems so black and white. Mary's right, Martha was wrong. But it's not that simple. Whether Martha said no to food preparations and sat down in the living room, or Mary said no to Jesus and went to help in the kitchen, either way, the meal still needed to be fixed. The guests still needed to be fed. You know, even if they all decided to fast through supper, they were going to have to eat breakfast. You can't ignore the mundane tasks of life forever. But Jesus was not saying that cooking a meal is not important. He's not saying Martha was committing a grave sin. He was pointing out that Mary was seizing an opportunity, taking advantage of a rare moment with Jesus, and that was the best way she could be spending that moment in time. See, it was a decision between better and best. So how could this story have played out differently? I don't know exactly. I mean, maybe they could have settled for cold-cut sandwiches or leftovers from the fridge, and then everybody could have been together in the living room at the same time. I mean, maybe they could have called a timeout, gotten the meal ready, and then sat around together after supper. I don't know. But I just want to make sure you realize Martha wasn't evil. She was just distracted. At the same time, Mary couldn't sit there forever, but she did it while she could. Take a look. We'll take one more look at verse 41 and 42. It says, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. See, only one thing is needed. That word suggests one thing is required, essential, most necessary. Mary said no to good, so she could say yes to what was best. I mean, it's interesting to me. We don't know how the story resolved. We don't know how it played out. I wonder how Martha responded to Jesus' words. Do you think she gladly took a load off and sat down at Jesus' feet? I mean, let the food get cold in the kitchen? Or maybe she begrudgingly sat down, muttered under her breath, thinking about all that she needed to be doing, and maybe even pinching Mary when Jesus wasn't looking. Maybe she stomped back into the kitchen, leaving Mary to listen to Jesus all by herself. You know, I like to think that Martha joined Mary at least for a little while. And the two of them gathered together, sat at Jesus' feet. Then together they went to the kitchen and finished the meal. I mean, and maybe after supper, James and John, they cleared the table. And Peter and Andrew, they took out the trash. And Lazarus washed the dishes. And maybe Jesus even dried them. Maybe Martha got the point that she needed to focus a little more on what really is important. And hopefully the others got the point that Martha was under a lot of pressure. And they needed to be willing to pitch in and help out. See, it's a matter of saying yes to the right things and no to the wrong things. And then sticking to your decision even when things get hard. Because you know what? Sometimes it's hard to say no. You know, I love the story about this guy who went to the doctor to have a mole removed from his chin. There's a pit bull nurse. I mean, she demanded that that the man go into the third door on the left, take off your clothes. I mean, he argued that was not necessary, that was unnecessary, but she insisted. So he went in. There's this guy in the corner stripped down to his boxers. She sure is mean. And he says, yeah, tell me about it. I'm the UPS driver. You see, sometimes it's hard to say no. The pressure is just too intense. Now, let me ask you to think about something. What are some things that you need to say no to in your life? You know, say no to an intimidating person who's putting unreasonable pressure on you. No to a bad habit. Maybe a secret sin. No to time wasters at work. Or distractions that prevent you from accomplishing your goals. Maybe you find yourself trying to please the crowd. Or maybe you're living your life in such a frantic pace that you just can't keep up. See, sometimes it takes courage to say no, but that may be exactly what you need to do. Remember, this account of Mary and Martha is not a story about saying no to what's bad and yes to what's good. I mean, this is even harder than that. It's about saying no to what's good so that you can say yes to what's better. Let me give you a bottom line this morning that maybe that we can put this all in perspective. Say yes to the right things, and it's easier to say no with confidence. See, say yes to the right things, and it's easier to say no with confidence. You know, our church has a mission statement. Love God, live like Jesus, and lift others. And we say, strengthening God's family by strengthening families. You see, by saying yes to those things, it's easier to say no when other opportunities come our way. See, it's an idea. If an idea comes up or a request is made for us to be involved in some kind of project, we look at that mission statement that we've already said yes to. And if the new idea doesn't accomplish one of those three things, we say no. I mean, say yes to the right things, and it's easier to say no with confidence. Now, sometimes the idea does accomplish one of those things, but we still say no. Why? Because it's a choice of between good and better, between better and best. Let me give you an example. My family is more important than my job. Say yes to that, and then you can say no when climbing the corporate ladder or chasing the next career goal threatens to make strangers of your wife and kids. Or my body is the temple of God. Say yes to that, and then it's easier to say no to abusing alcohol and drugs or to smoking cigarettes, to overeating, to a lazy lifestyle. Or I will try my hardest in school. Say yes there, and it might mean saying no to some extracurricular activities or maybe to some TV and computer time, to some nights out with your friends. Remember, sometimes saying no has to do with avoiding bad things. Sometimes no has to do with choosing what's best. See, what happens when weekend activities take you away from church for weeks on end? What do you do when your busy schedule keeps you from getting involved with youth group or maybe a home group? How do you handle it when you can't find time to serve in ministry or to serve the community because you said yes to too many lesser commitments? You see, Christians, as Christians, we've said, Jesus is Lord of my life. That yes trumps all other things. Saying yes to Jesus requires us to say no to selfishness, no to sinful patterns of behavior, no to pride and bitterness, no to lust and greed. Say yes to the right things, and it gets easier to say no with confidence. You know, I had a guy call me that I haven't talked to in probably 20 years. I mean, he's a preacher. He ministers in Texas, and he was trying to make a major ministry decision. I mean, it wasn't a choice between good and bad. Was it a choice between? It was a choice between better and best. I mean, he asked me a question I've been asked 1,000 times over the years. How do I make this decision? How do I know what to do? How do I know what God wants? Let me give you three questions you ought to ask. Three questions that can help you decide yes or no. First of all, what does God say? I mean, Scripture and prayer. Second, what do my family and friends say? See, advice of trustworthy Christian people. And third, what does my gut say? You know, feelings aren't always right, but God gave us a brain and a heart and a conscience so that we could discern His leading. I'm telling you, say yes to the right things, and it's easier to say no with confidence. Pray with me. Father, we come to You today because we want to give You praise and glory, and we want to lift Your name up in this worship today, because You are the God that created us. You're the God that gave us life. You are the God that supplies our every need. And so we give You praise for that. But Father, sometimes we say no to You. Sometimes we let other things come between us. And Father, I pray that You will help us say yes to the best things. We say no to good things so that we can say yes to better things. And maybe we can look at our life and realize maybe we need to slow down. Maybe we need to get our priorities straight. Maybe we need to realize that our family is more important. But most of all, Father, we know that You are important and that You loved us so much that You sent Jesus. And so, Father, I pray that we can say yes to Jesus and what He is leading us to do. Father, it is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.